We wanted to get a gift for the dads. We were thinking about getting everybody a smart car, but our treasurer did not approve. Instead, we have pens and pencils, a pen and pencil set for the dads. And so I'm going to ask some of the kids, could you just raise your hands if you're a dad here? You can't be a dad if you're just 15. All right. It's coming around. Even if your kids aren't here this morning and you're a dad, you can have a pen and a pencil. And if your dad isn't here, I can see Duncan's not here, just give it to Evan or so that he can. All right. All right, happy Father's Day. Now that you have a pen, please take out your checkbooks. We'll keep some for next week for the dads that were not able to be here for this week. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 1. Beginning with verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, turn with me to chapter 2, verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." And so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Go to verse 19. "And after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and he said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead.' And so he got up and took the child and his mother, and he went to the land of Israel." Let's pray. Father, thank you again. Your word is filled with wisdom for us. For those who will heed your word, you give guidance. And today, Father, we come to reflect on the theme of fatherhood, I pray that you will speak directly to our hearts. And Lord, I pray for wisdom, I pray for guidance, and I pray that we may be the kind of people that you have called us to be, that would give you glory and that would make a difference in this world. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last year, I shared about my story with my dad. And the title of the sermon was Fatherhood, Failure, and Forgiveness. That's what I was, you know, that's what I related to. That's what I was brought up with, an experience of a father that, for me, there was a lot of failure there. And the Lord had eventually brought me to a place where I had to forgive. And it was painful. But I shared that story with many of you, and I also shared that really when we look in the scriptures, we find that there's quite a number of parents, of dads who messed up big time, whether it's Adam or Noah or Abraham or Isaac and Jesse and David. There's a lot of stories, and a lot of people can relate to failure. But today, I want to talk about a very different theme, focus. And that is the focus of fatherhood, faithfulness, and being a fine example to children and to the following generations. And as I said, there's so many examples in Scripture of fathers that failed, but there is one example in Scripture, at least one, which is positive. Through and through, not a negative word about this dad. And we usually don't think of this man as a great example as a dad. And that's Joseph. And one of the reasons we don't think of him as a great dad and as a great example is because, he wasn't the birth parent. He was really an adopted parent. And he adopted Jesus into the family and took great care of him. I'm really surprised how little us Protestants talk about Joseph. Catholics speak about him all the time. But we as Protestants somehow overlook his example in the scriptures. So it's a bit risky this morning to be talking about a father who is faithful and is a great example. Because it's not the experience of many. And I have to say, for me as a pastor, I'm tempted very often to refrain speaking on certain topics because I'm always thinking, oh, you know, if I say these things, so-and-so is going to feel guilty, so-and-so is going to feel bad, so-and-so is going to feel sad, and, you know, out of sensitivity sometimes, just avoid topics. And other times, as pastors, it's easy to avoid topics because we say to ourselves, well, you know, it's not fair for me to actually speak on that because that hasn't been my experience. That's not where I'm at. And so I'd be a hypocrite if I did that. But what ends up happening is I put your experience over the Word of God, and I put my experience over the Word of God. Not a great idea. And so today, yes, as we delve into some of these examples, these stories about faithfulness, even if we can't relate to it, I'm going to leave that with you, even if it brings some pain and heartache. I'm going to leave that with you so that you can work it out with the Lord. I'm not going to try to figure it all out, how to avoid some topics, and I just want to look at the story of Joseph and point out what we find there. Now, Joseph was a godly man. He wanted to be right with God and to obey God and to do what God wanted him to do. And he was a very godly man. And he was a godly man in the area of sexual purity. I was reminded of a young woman many years ago. She came to me and she said she needed some pastoral advice. She said, "Pastor, I have kept myself pure before God. I've never been with a man, and I don't intend to be with a man. I've kept myself physically pure. And I'm also doing that because I believe that one day God is going to bring me somebody, and I want to present myself to this man as a person who has been pure before the Lord, and I have kept myself for him. My question is, can I request and require of the Lord that he find me a man that has also kept himself pure before God? Somebody who's kept himself pure just for me. Can I ask the Lord for a man like that?" We had a very interesting discussion. But, I could see very clearly from her question and her tone and her demeanor that she really believed that that was going to be a standard, that she said, "Lord, I've done this for you and for whoever this man is that you will bring into my life, and I will only marry a man who has kept himself pure for me." And years later, she came up to me and found a man and wanted me to marry them. And he was that kind of man for her. The Lord had honored her prayer, honored her desire, and they have a great marriage. This was a desire that this woman had in the presence of the Lord and as a request. And when I read about Joseph in this story, it reminded me of her and what she said. Joseph is a man who kept himself pure before the Lord. Joseph is a man who wanted a woman that was pure before the Lord, who had kept herself for him. And he had thought that he had found such a person, that they were both godly, they were both, honoring the Lord in their purity as they sought him, and they rejoiced in one another. And then one day, she comes and says to Joseph she's pregnant. I can't imagine the suffering that would have caused Joseph. Yeah, he wasn't as spiritual as many of us guys. We would have said, "Oh, virgin birth, sure." Remember, there's never been a virgin birth even throughout Scripture or anything. This is a total, this is totally new. And for Joseph, to have this person whom, he believed that God brought her into his life and he into her life, and they were going to be, one before the Lord, and then to hear a story like that, there is no greater betrayal for somebody than to have somebody, be unfaithful to them. No greater betrayal. And I just, again, I can't imagine how deep the pain must have gone. But we read, that Joseph, his response really to it was, if somebody else is the dad, let that dad raise the child. That seems to me to be what was behind some of his motivation as well. We see the quality of this man, and that's really where you see the quality of any man, is when he's under pressure. And we see how he handled this very, very difficult and emotional situation. And even though he was so deeply hurt by Mary, he didn't want to hurt her back. He didn't want to ruin her. He didn't want to ruin her reputation. He didn't want to see her die. He still showed compassion and was still able to love her. He acted justly He was a just man. He acted justly, but he also acted with grace and mercy. I'm gonna give you over to God. I will let God deal with you and let God deal with this circumstance. I will not take it into my own hands. So it was very difficult for Joseph, what he had to go through as a godly man. But you know what? Both of these individuals, these young people, these teenagers, likely, they were just fine examples of what it means to be godly in this area. And it's really interesting to contrast Joseph with Adam. Adam, remember, he listened to his wife and went along with her, disobeyed God. Joseph, suspecting that his wife had or was unfaithful, wife and wife-to-be in that context, but that she was unfaithful to the Lord, he did not want to go with her, did not want to follow through with that. He wanted to be faithful with God. And also contrasting Adam and Joseph, Adam just blames Eve, whereas Joseph, he doesn't, he tries to protect Mary. That's the kind of man that he is. And the sense that one gets when, with the story of Adam and Eve is that they made their relationship an idol. We're going to stay together no matter what. Even if it means disobeying God, you first. Whereas Joseph just doesn't give us that picture. The Lord first. Even if that means I got to give up the relationship. The Lord first. It's got to be blessed by God, or I don't want to move into that relationship. Wow, what a man. So God, allows Joseph to go through this very difficult trial. And at the right time, the Lord confirms Mary's story to Joseph through an angel. And Joseph was a man who wanted God's will for his life. And so when he heard from God, when he heard that the story was true, just again, now you can just imagine the great relief, the great joy that came into his life, that the woman that he loved and continued to love, that in fact she was faithful to him and to the Lord. And then Joseph enters into the relationship and takes it back, because now it's going to be a relationship that will be blessed by God. And that's what Joseph wants. Joseph wants that kind of relationship. Interesting, the angel says to Joseph, don't be afraid. And I was wondering, what was there to be afraid of? Town gossip, maybe? Maybe the idea of raising the Savior of the world? Whatever it was, it took courage on his part. But he acted. And then we find throughout the story that Joseph becomes this, he steps up to the plate and he becomes a very effective father figure. He does everything right. And one of the things that we find over and over is that he's a man who's very open to and sensitive to the guidance of God. The angel of the Lord is always giving him directives, and as soon as he gets the directive, he follows through. God says to Joseph, "Joseph, take her to be your wife." He takes her to be his wife. Raise this child as your own, and he does that. And throughout his life, you just see this man taking on this leadership all the time. I will do what the Lord says. I will do what the Lord says. Get up. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. What does he do? He does it. Follows through. with those directives. After Herod died, the Lord appears in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and says, get up, take the child and his mother, go to the land of Israel. And then being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee and went and lived in a town called Nazareth. He was attuned to what God wanted for him, what God wanted for his family, and he followed through with that. And again, I can't imagine how great a comfort that must have been for Mary to have that kind of man. I have a man who listens to God. I have a man who obeys the Lord. I have a man of principle in my life. And this is a challenge for us as dads, just to keep seeking the guidance of God for our lives and for our family. Pursue it. The other thing we find about Joseph is he's just an unselfish man, very sacrificial. And again, just think of all the things that he had to, you know, give up, that a lot of things, or a lot of people would you say, you know, I can't give that stuff up because that's what I want in my life. I mean, he gave up privilege after privilege. This is not my biological child, but I will take him in. I have to leave my home all of a sudden. I got to leave my practice. I can't tell this son of mine already has a career planned ahead of him. It's God who has given it to him. And all of this, but it didn't matter because Joseph, what's important to Joseph is just, I will do what the Lord says. It's not wealth that's above everything. It's not his own comfort. It's not his own pleasure. He sacrifices everything for the sake of being faithful to God. What a man. And we see also Joseph just, again, you know, the protection of his family from danger and evil. I'm sure we don't need to hear from angels to tell us, fathers, you know, protect your families from evil. The Lord taught us in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil, deliver us from temptation. And there are a lot of Herods out there in our world today that are trying to destroy the family, trying to destroy the children. Joseph took this seriously and protected his family. He was a man who honored God. The other thing I notice about Joseph, just from reading the various stories in Scripture, is that he was a team player. And we find this, you know, he leaves for Egypt with the child and his mother. And then it says, Joseph went to Judea to register with Mary. That's Luke 2:5. So just hear this. There's mom, and there's Joseph. There's Mary, there's Joseph. And then Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And then Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, and they returned to Galilee to their town of Nazareth. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when they did not find Jesus, they went back to Jerusalem. Get that picture? Mary wasn't alone raising this child. When it was time to go to the temple, they both went to the temple. When it was time to raise the child, to make sure that it was being the child was fulfilling the requirements of the scriptures, both of them were involved. You just get this picture that, you know, this is something that we're both called to do. It's not passing on the responsibility to the other person. And I know from talking to some of you over the years when you've shared about just your family and why it was so strong and such a positive example, some of you said, it's hard for me to think only of my mom or dad because they were always a team. I think that's one of the most important lessons, you know, that we learn to be a team. When the child goes to church, mom and dad are at church. When it's time for raising the child, mom and dad are there raising the child. I mean, it's a team. It's not just mom doing it, but dad is there. And then lastly, something else that stands out to me about Joseph No, we never hear a single word spoken from Joseph in the scriptures. He never says anything. He's presented to us not as a man of words, but a man of action. That's what Joseph is presented to us as. We don't hear him say one thing. We infer that he's spoken, but there's no words coming from him. And the interesting thing as well about the story of Joseph is somehow he just disappears. We know that he's still alive when Jesus was 12 years old. But after that, we don't know what happened to him, and he just disappears. But it's consistent with the story we have of Joseph. He was a faithful man, a man of few words, a man that was willing to be, you know, in the background, didn't need to have a spotlight on him. As long as the spotlight was on Jesus, as long as he was there to do what he was called to do, he didn't need a lot of praise, didn't need a lot of attention. And I think the scriptures honored him in that way. There's a poem, and I'm going to end with this poem, and then I'm going to ask Scott to come up and share about his dad. But here's a poem. I think it's challenging for all of us as men. It's called Looking for Men. The world today is looking for men who are not for sale. Men who are honest, sound from center to circumference, true to the heart's core, men with consciences as steady as the needle to the pole, men who will stand for the right if the heavens totter and the earth reels, men who can tell the truth while looking the world in the eye, men who neither brag nor run, neither flag nor flinch, men who know their message and tell it, men who know their place and fill it, men who know their business and attend to it, men who will not lie, shirk, or dodge, men who are not lazy to work, nor too proud to be poor, men who are willing to eat what they have earned and wear what they have paid for, men who are not ashamed to say, no, I cannot afford it. God is looking for men, and he wants those who can unite together around a common faith, who can join hands in a common task, and who have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Oh God, give us such men. And Father, that's our prayer. Oh God, make us such men. Give us such men. May the youth grow up to be these kind of men. The world needs men like this. The kingdom of God needs men like this. The church needs men like this. Father, I thank you for the positive, faithful example of Joseph. We are more accustomed, it seems, to speak about failure than about faithfulness. But I thank you that we have this man that is a model. And I pray that by your Spirit, Lord, that you would transform us, that we may become more like Joseph, and that we may so live that the spotlight would be clearly on Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. I've asked Scott to share a little bit about his dad. His dad passed away recently, and I heard his story, and I just thought it's a story worth telling. It's a tribute to his dad. And so, Scott, if you would come up now.
As Vic said, most of the following presentation that I would talk to this morning was presented as a eulogy at my father's funeral last January. I have modified it a bit to also include the impact that my grandfather had on my life. Reflections on fathers. Both my dad and grandfather had a big impact on my life. I was fortunate to be able to spend a good amount of time with both of them, and as a result, they played a key role in shaping who I am today. I was very fond of my grandparents, who were both Christians. They lived in Merritt, BC, and my family visited them often. When I was in elementary school, I liked to spend some of my summer break with them in Merritt and would often do so. Breakfast time was special because they had a great selection of sugar cereals such as Captain Crunch and Fruit Loops. Immediately after eating, they had morning devotions, scripture reading, and prayer right at the table. This was often repeated after dinner time as well. Over the years, I watched my grandfather study the Bible, talk to others about God, participate or lead Bible studies. And it was during one of my summers with my grandparents that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. With my father being a radio operator in the Canadian Merchant Navy during World War II, he wanted to share his knowledge of electronics with me. He taught me Morse code when I was about 6 years old, and we would practice together trying to communicate in code. Dad made a number of other electronic projects with me, crystal and shortwave radios, electric motor, high voltage power supply, etc. I learned a lot at an early age, and this sparked my interest in electronics. In my early teens, personal computers were just starting to come out. Dad encouraged me to learn about them, and I selected typing and electronics as some of my high school electives. After my high school graduation, I knew I wanted a career in electronics, and the decisions I made directed me towards my career working with electronic instrumentation at UBC. I, too, have encouraged my sons, Trevor and Joshua, and have built projects with them to help spark their interests. This is a picture at Cultus Lake testing the remote-operated underwater vehicle known as ROV that Trevor and I built. When I was about 8 years old, Dad built a treehouse for us kids in the backyard. It was a custom design he built from scratch, and I watched him do it. Us kids played in it for years with the neighbor kids, the Marshes and the Wrights. This inspired me to do the same. I too designed a treehouse, and this time I requested and had my dad's assistance in building it. My kids and our neighbors. My kids and our neighbors, the DS kids, enjoyed it for many years. When I was young, I saw my dad spend quality time with my mom. My parents would regularly go out on dinner dates, sometimes do trips with just the two of them to Harrison, Europe, etc., and Dad would often give mom flowers or other gifts. They never fought, and he always treated her with kindness and respect. He modeled what a good husband should do, and I try to do the same now for my wife, Tanya. My grandfather was a carpenter by trade and was instrumental in the construction of their new church building in Merritt. He would often spend time doing maintenance and upgrades to the church, and now I too share a passion to use my skills to do the same. Dad was a handyman extraordinaire. He finished the basement of the house we grew up in North Vancouver, did all the landscaping, and would do most of the repairs on both the house and the cars. I would assist Dad in doing most of these tasks, sometimes in just holding a tool or a light, But as a result, I learned a lot and also do most of the work on our house and cars. Sometimes when I needed help, Dad offered assistance. This picture shows the time he helped me fix the transmission on my minivan. Due to the hands-on skills I learned from him, I've been able to become quite handy myself. Growing up, our family was fortunate to be able to take many summer vacations. Many of our summers were spent doing family things like fishing, camping, skiing in the wintertime, going to Birch Bay and Cultus, traveling in our small trailer. My father understood the importance of spending time together as a family, and so I too strive to do the same with mine. I was fortunate to be able to have my parents join my own family on many of these special family times. I saw both my dad and grandfather do volunteer work and assist people who needed help. I went along with my dad when he would cut the grass for one of our aging relatives who lived alone in a house. And I accompanied my grandfather when he towed a broken-down car of a visiting missionary. I now try to share the same passion to serve others and model that to my sons the same ways they did to me. When I was about 13, my dad started to prepare for a dream he had to sail the South Pacific. He listened to other people who had done it, and so he bought a small 22-foot sailboat, and over the period of a year, our family learned to sail and he to navigate using the sun and stars. He sold the small boat and bought a larger 41-foot ketch. And after spending another year outfitting it, the family headed out to the open ocean for a one-year sailing adventure. It takes a lot of guts to sail the open oceans, and some of our relatives thought he was crazy. During our travels to the South Pacific Islands, Dad would make a point of going to the local island church on Sundays. I can remember sitting through the service in one such church, and although not understanding their language, we still felt the bond of being together with other Christian believers. After returning home from our South Pacific trip, the boat continued to be a large part of my dad's life, and for a period of 8 years, Dad and Mom hosted many friends and family on the boat, which provided an ideal setting for spending quality time and building relationships with others. I too realized the value of spending time with others and building relationships. During Dad's retirement, he often used his talents to build and repair things for others. He would either be doing something for people in need or would direct his energies towards the family and the grandkids. He built many toys for family and friends, including a large-scale replicas of a Sopwith Camel biplane for my handicapped cousin and a Thomas the Tank Engine train for our boys. Although wheelchair-bound his last few years with Parkinson's, Dad had a positive attitude and enjoyed the company of friends and family. His needs with dementia and mobility issues allowed me to spend more time with him and provide the care and assistance that he and Mom used to give me when I was young. Things like personal care, finances, housing, guardianship, etc. The roles have completely reversed, and I am glad I was and am able to assist. My grandfather passed away when I was 12. And my dad this last January. Although gone, it's clear to see how they both impacted my life. They helped direct my career, lead me to the Lord, filled my life with adventure, and modeled courage, servanthood, relationships, and love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 states, "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for this man who gave such a wonderful example of Christian service and was Christ-like in so many ways. Thank you for the impact that he had on Scott. And Lord, we just pray that you would fill him with the peace that passes understanding. But what great joy that we as Christian believers have to know that we never really say goodbye, but we shall soon meet again. That is our hope, and I give you thanks for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I remember being at the bookstore once, Chapters, and there was a book that really caught my eye. It was "Are Men Still Necessary?" was the title of the book. Fatherhood today is not discussed very much. It's the number one social problem, apparently, in the United States, people growing up without fathers. There's all kinds of people that says fathers, not that important. Two moms are okay, you don't need a father. Children don't need a dad. Two dads are okay, you don't need a mother. It's totally missing God's plan for the family, of how important it is that children have fathers and mothers. Today it is a tribute, and Joseph is just an awesome example of a father in Scripture, and Scott's dad is an awesome example. I have one more, just a short video of a father and a son that entered into the Iron Man competition. And so if we could just turn the lights down a little bit, just so that it's a little bit hard to see.